All right, Noah was mentioned as one of the heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. He had four attributes that I want to speak to you today about that I believe this last day's generation needs to learn from Noah in order to endure until the end. Let's get after it today.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, founder and pastor Ricky Scapero. This is Monday, March 25th. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. All of you guys listening by Apple or by Spotify, we welcome you. We also want to welcome you guys on Rumble and on YouTube. All of you guys in the YouTube chat, again, we welcome you. If you're new to the broadcast and you're able to comment on any of these platforms, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. Real quick, guys, we typically like to announce a couple things and then we get right into the message today. If you have not downloaded our free app, we want to encourage you to do that today. Pick it up today at your Play Store, depending on whatever that looks like for you, what your device is, if it's Apple, if it's Android. Go to your Play Store, download our official ETH, our End Time Headlines app. And again, it's absolutely free to you. Download it today. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be able to catch every headline and every podcast when it is readily available. And of course, guys, do me a favor, and don't forget to hit that like button, smash that like button, smash that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. All of this is going to help you stay tuned and stay informed and alerted when we have a new message come out or whatever the case may be, or you keep up with our ministry. And also it helps push out this message and these programs out on these algorithms so other individuals can catch these messages as well. So tonight, I'm going to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk about Noah. In the book of Hebrews, the writer includes Noah as one of the heroes of faith that is enlisted in that chapter. And it tells you why he was considered to be one of these heroes of the faith. Now, the reason why I want to touch on this tonight is because when you go to Luke chapter 17, Jesus compares the days of Noah and Lot as it to the days of the end times. He says, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. So I always like to go back. If you guys know our ministry well and you have followed us in any length of time, you know that I am one of my favorite scriptures is in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And it says, that which was is that which shall be. There is no new thing under the sun. And I've always been a individual who's always believed that if you want to know the end, you go back and you research the beginning. So I thought about this as I was doing my own devotional, and I said, you know, Jesus referenced Noah and he referenced Lot. And so tonight I want to talk about Noah, and I went back and I found this verse of scripture, and I believe this is the gold mine. And I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. I believe this is the gold mine when it gives you details about the attributes that Noah possessed that enabled him, watch this, to endure until the end. Now, in context of what we're talking about with Noah, Noah preached 120 years that a judgment was coming, that a flood was coming. He prepared himself accordingly. He did all these things that God commanded him to do this, and he endured through all this. So I believe, now I'm going to show you these four attributes today. This is one of those equipping messages. If you love equipping messages, you're going to absolutely love this message today. Get out your notebook, get out your tablet, whatever, and take some notes on this. So Hebrews 11:7 is going to be our foundational scripture tonight. Hebrews 11:7, I'll be reading from the New King James. If you have your Bible, you can turn there with me, or you can watch on the screen if you're watching the visual of this. I want to read this. Ready? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So within this context, within this text right here, Hebrews 11:7, there are four attributes that Noah possessed that I want to be found possessing these qualities, these attributes, because I believe if I put into practice these four things today in 2024, I believe just as Noah endured, think about it, church, 120 years. He endured 120 years of what God committed to him to be faithful over and steward over and be in obedience to. And God saw to it that he would be found faithful. And he was enlisted in the heroes of faith. All right, so if you're taking notes, here's the first one. Ready? Number one, Noah was a man of God who responded to the warnings of the Lord in his generation by moving with godly fear and made preparations with his entire bloodline or his family in mind and condemned the world and remained faithful unto the end. That's the premise of the entire passage right there in Hebrews 11:7. But I'm going to break these down. Ready? Number one, if you're taking notes. Number one, Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. Let me say that again. Noah was divinely warned from God himself of things not yet seen. Now, when I started digging into this, this is what I discovered that I think you're going to find very interesting. Josephus the historian, which was a Jewish historian that lived to see the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. He compiled his writings in a book called The Antiquities of the Jews, and he gives us detailed descriptions of the invasion of the temple, the destruction of the temple, the captivity of the Jews. All these things. He talks about cosmic signs. He talks about supernatural events taking place in his day in 70 AD. All this stuff. In Antiquities, the first book, chapter 2, section 3, I want to read this. This is what he said. Now, again, you got to remember these guys, these historians, these ancients had possessions of books and literature that we still have today. A lot of these things still exist today, but some of these things have been lost over time. And in his writings, in his Antiquities, he wrote, quote, they, and he's speaking of the family of Seth, which is the lineage of Adam, also were the inventors of that peculiar sort of wisdom, which is concerned with the heavenly bodies and their order, and that their inventions might not be lost before they were sufficiently known. Now listen to this. Upon Adam's prediction. Now, what he's saying here is, apparently, Josephus is saying that Adam was given directly from the Lord the revelation that the world would suffer two judgments. And I'm going to read this again. This was found in the writings of Antiquities of Josephus, the historian. Adam's prediction that the world was at one time to be destroyed by the force of fire and the other by the quantity of water. They made two pillars. Now, this is the descendants of Adam created two pillars. One was constructed of brick and the other of stone, and they inscribed these discoveries on both of them. The reason why they used brick and the reason why they used stone is because one would survive the water and the other would survive the fire. Now, in case, and just to give more credence to this, now I want to take you to the writing of the Apostle Peter in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to start with verse 1. Again, it's the 2 Peter 3:1. Let's read this together. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Look what it says here, folks. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now look what he says here. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then, past tense, existed, perished. So even Peter references here the flood of Noah, saying the earth stood out of water, in the water, and perished by the water. Again, in verse 6, he says, being flooded with water. Now let's read on. Verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now present tense, preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire. What's it say there, church? They're reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So don't miss what I'm saying here. So Peter, again, he confirms what Josephus wrote in his writings, that Adam possessed this knowledge by Yahweh himself, by God Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God revealed to Adam that the earth would suffer two judgments, one of water, a great deluge. We call this the flood of Noah, that's recorded by Moses in the Torah. And then we have this future event wherein which Peter said the earth that now is being preserved for the day of judgment and this purging of fire. And by the way, that will all take place in the book of Revelation during the tribulation. Now, let me go back over here to Hebrews 11. What did I tell you? Number one, we're talking about the four attributes, right? Number one, faith. Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. Now, check this out. Let's go to all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 2. This is in the days of Noah. Look what it says here. And this is Genesis 2, verses 5 through 6. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not, look at this, the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth. And there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Don't miss it. It had never rained upon the face of the earth. Okay, so why is it significant? Well, let's read on. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 6. Now look at this. God is speaking directly to Noah. This is in Genesis 6:13. Look what he says. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark. Now, this is where he instructs him to build an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 in cubits and width 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door on the ark in its side. You shall make it with, and he goes on, he gives these dimensions. Verse 17, and behold, I myself, now look what he says here, and bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life, everything that is on the earth shall die, but I shall establish my covenant with you. So again, here's the point I'm trying to make. God revealed to Noah that he was going to flood the earth. He was going to rend the heavens, and he's going to flood the earth. The fountains of the deep will burst forth underneath, and they will flood the earth. The waters of above will flood the earth. Again, it had never rained upon the earth. So now, watch this. Noah goes out from the presence of the Lord. He begins to warn the people of his generation that a judgment was coming, and it would consist of something that they had never seen in their lifetime. Oh, you didn't hear me right there. I said the generation of Noah's day had never seen something like this before. So Noah was warning them of things not yet seen. Oh, come on. I want to tell you what happened. I want to go into a little bit deeper on this. if you don't mind, there is a book which you've heard me talk about this before. I consider this book to be Jewish history. This book is referenced twice in your Bible. The first reference in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, and 2 Samuel 1, 18. Both of these individuals, both books reference the book of Jasher. In Joshua 10, 13, it talks about the sun standing still. And it says, is this not written in the book of Jasher? Jasher. It's pronounced Jasher. The J is silent. In 2 Samuel 1, 18, it says, and he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jasher. Right there again, Joshua 10, 13, 2 Samuel 1, 18. Now, why is that significant? Because if you go to, and when you read the book of Jasher, there is parts of this that give great detail about the days of Noah and what happened during the time of the flood. If you don't mind, I want to take a few moments and I want to read this because this is significant when it comes to relevance for us in our generation. Let me read this again. This is from the book of Jasher. And all who followed the Lord died in those days before they saw the evil which God declared to do upon the earth. That, my friend, is very prophetic and significant in itself, because it doesn't surprise me when I see more and more generals of the Lord, generals of the faith, going on to be with the Lord, or they're dying suddenly. Because if you start seeing a huge influx of these generals and these men of God and women of God being taken from the earth suddenly, and all like in large quantities of this, watch out, because again, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. And Jasher says, and all who followed the Lord died in those days before they saw the evil which God declared to do upon the earth. So watch this. Before the great judgment of water came, many of the righteous were taken from the earth to be spared from what was coming. Wow. And after the lapse of many years, in the 418th year of the life of Noah, when all those men who followed the Lord had died from among the sons of men, only Methuselah was left. And God said unto Noah and Methuselah, saying, speak ye and proclaim to the sons of men. This is very important. The Lord speaks to Noah and Methuselah and says, speak and proclaim to the sons of men, saying, thus saith the Lord, return from your evil ways and forsake your works, and the Lord will repent of the evil that he declared to do to you, so that it shall not come to pass. Did you know that it was in the heart of God to relent from his destruction and his judgment that he was going to declare upon the earth? If only men would have repented and turned back to him, they would have been spared. Come on. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I give you a period of 120 years. Let me say that again. Behold, I give you a period of 120 years. If you will turn to me and forsake your evil ways, then will I also turn away from evil which I told you, and it shall not exist, saith the Lord. Did you know that Nineveh had 40 days? And the earth back then had 120 years. Well, listen, we don't know how long God has given America. How long is God going to turn a blind eye to shedding of the innocent blood, to abominations, and direct defiance of him and his word? We don't know. I don't think a prophet out there knows this. I don't think God is giving that to anyone. I don't think he's revealing that. Even if he did, listen to me, friend, even if he did reveal it, the people who are hardened of heart and stiff-necked, just like in Noah's day, they would not listen to it. They would turn a blind eye to it. And Noah and Methuselah spoke all the words of the Lord to the sons of men day after day, constantly speaking to them. I said day after day, constantly speaking to them. Listen, I know where I'm going with this message tonight. I just want you to pay attention to keep all this in the back of your mind. And they, listen to this. This is what the book of Jasher says. Though they heard the words day in and day out, the people were stiff-necked. Remember Stephen? In the book of Acts, when he spoke to the religious Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he called them stiff-necked. He said they rejected God and they slew the prophets, and they rejected the word of the Lord. Now I'm going to read on. And the Lord granted them a period of 120 years, saying, if they will return, then will God repent of the evil so as not to destroy the earth. And all the sons of men who knew the Lord died in that year before the Lord brought evil upon them. For the Lord willed them to die so as not to behold the evil and which God would bring upon their brothers and relatives as he so declared to do. Wow. And you say, well, that's kind of a cruel thing, isn't it? Isn't that the kind of a cruel thing that God would allow us to die before we saw evil? No, not if you have eternity in mind. Listen, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. See, you got to understand something. We as believers, listen, you can't threaten a Christian, come on, with death. Because you can't threaten him with eternity in Christ. Paul said, oh, come on. Paul said, I wrestle between the two. He said, there's part of me that wants to remain here on the earth for your benefit, but there's another part that wants me to, that desires to depart from this old physical body and go be with the Lord. And he said, but whether I'm in the body or out of the body, he said, all that I do as unto the Lord. I will glorify the Lord with my life. So you got to catch this, guys. I know I'm still on number one. I promise you, this is probably the longest section. Once we get through this, we'll go a little bit faster on this. In Noah's generation, write this down. There was both oral and written warnings, which circulated for over 120 years before judgment ever came upon the earth. Think about it. There was written warnings given from Adam that was passed down to his lineage, but then there was oral warnings. We know of for a fact that Adam was one, Methuselah was one, and Noah was one. Come on, out of the testimony of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. So here you have oral warnings and you have written warnings that had circulated for, we could say, four generations before judgment came upon the earth. The very things that Noah warned of, that the men of his day mocked and scoffed him over, eventually came to fruition, but it was too late for the majority. Wow, guys. Wow. Look at this. Let's go to Matthew 24. Look what Jesus said. We're jumping back over to the New Testament. Look what this, verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, there it is. There's a reference here in Matthew 24 again. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Look what it says here. For as in the days before the flood, somebody say before the flood, the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And in other words, life was as normal. Look at this. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. Did you hear that? Life was going as normal and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Two be in the field, one taken, two women grinding, one taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Now I want to go back to the book of Jasher. I want to give you detailed descriptions from this historical book of, I'm going to take you to that day and I want to show you what happened from the author of Jasher. Ready? And on that day, the Lord caused the whole earth to shake and the sun darkened and the foundations of the world rage. I said the earth shook and the sun became dark. Wow. Wow. And the foundations of the world raged. The whole earth was moved violently, and lightning flashed, and thunder roared, and all of the fountains in the earth were broken up, such as was not known to the inhabitants before. Remember, Noah was warned of things that had not yet been seen. There was no point of reference to this ever. It had never happened before. And God did this mighty act in order to terrify the sons of men, that there might be no more evil upon the earth. Verse 12. And still, again, this is in the book of Jasher, guys. I know some of y'all is like, where is this at in the Bible? It's in a historical book in the book of Jasher. The book of Jasher, if you're just coming onto the broadcast, is mentioned twice in your Bible. It's a historical Jewish book that gives detailed descriptions of things and events that we read about, especially in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And still the sons of men would not return from their evil ways. Think about that. They're seeing the whole earth shaking, sun darkening, the world raging, violently coming, and the fountains of the deep breaking open, and these wicked men and women of the earth would not return to the Lord and would not repent of their evil ways. And they increased the anger of the Lord even more so, and did not even direct their hearts to all of this. And then all of the fountains of the deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Again, never happened before, ever. First time ever in history. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And Noah and his household and all the living creatures that were with him came into the ark on the account of the waters of the flood, and the Lord shut him in. Listen to this. And all the sons of men that were left upon the earth became exhausted through evil on account of the rain. For the waters were coming more violently upon the earth, and the animals and beasts were still surrounding the ark. Listen to this. This is incredible. And the sons of men assembled together. And Jasher tells you about 700,000 men and nearly a million men and women came rushing to the ark. And they called unto Noah, saying, open for us that we come to you in the ark, and wherefore shall we die? And Noah with a loud voice answered to them from the ark, saying, have you not all rebelled against the Lord and said that he does not exist? Woe. Listen, did you hear that? These people were saying the same stuff that these atheists are saying today. That there's no God, he does not exist, he's a sky daddy, he's a fairy tale, he's a fabrication of your imagination. These wicked individuals, Noah was rebuking them from inside the ark, in which God shut him up into. The floodwaters were receding, the windows of heaven were burst forth open, the floodwaters were coming down, and these men are shouting out to Noah saying, save us. And Noah says, have you not all rebelled against the Lord and saying that he does not exist? And therefore the Lord brought upon you this evil to destroy and cut you off from the face of the earth. Listen to that, guys. And again, Peter tells us. Now, in Noah's day, it was a judgment of water. In Peter's time, by direct revelation of God, he saw and peered into the future, wherein which he saw a renovation of fire that would come upon the earth. And he said in 2 Peter, in his epistle, he said that there will scoffers arise. He said scoffers will come in the last days and say, where is the promise of his coming? Now, guys, what is terrifying about this, when I read this in the book of Jasher, it reminded me of Matthew chapter 25, wherein which it talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. I want to give you a synopsis of this because I can't read all this for sake of time. We're never going to get through all these other three points. Here you have five wise, five foolish. Five wise have oil in their lamps. They're trimmed. They're ready to go, but they're all sleeping. They're all slumbering. And in verse 6, there's a midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. The virgins who were ready for him arose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said, give us some of your oil. And so they're going out and frantically trying to find oil at the last minute. And while they were away, while they were gone trying to buy oil, the bridegroom appears. I'm in verse 10 of Matthew 25. And those who were ready, I said, is there anybody in the chat room that's ready? Come on, somebody. Let me know. Do you have oil in your lamp? Do you have your wicks trimmed? Is your fire still burning? It says those who were ready went in with him to the wedding chamber, and the door was shut. How consequential is it that there was a door that shut supernaturally in Noah's day, and there was a door that will be shut when the wise virgins with fire and oil and anointing and are ready will enter into his chambers, and the door will be shut then as well. I don't think that's a coincidence, my friend. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a time and there's coming a day, and it's coming quickly. That, listen, the end of all things will be at hand. The end of the age will come to a climax. There is coming a voice of an archangel, the shout of a trumpet. Come on, the shout of an archangel, the voice of the trumpet. There will be a blast. You'll hear those who are ready, walking in Christ, will hear the words, come up here. Or we'll just say it in King James, come up hither. It's the same words that John the Revelator heard in Revelation chapter 4, wherein he said he was in the spirit, and he heard a voice speaking as the voice of a trumpet, and it said, come up here. And he says he immediately was taken into the spirit, and he was before the throne room of God, and there was in front of him, come on, all types of individuals, all from all groups, ethnicities, and backgrounds before the throne room of God. I personally believe that is the rapture of the church. I don't want to go on a rabbit trail and all that. People get mad and get worked up about that. So that's not what our message is about tonight. What I'm trying to tell you is there are some attributes here that I want you to know. But let me go back to Matthew 25. So here the wise virgins enter to the chambers, the doors are shut. Verse 11 of Matthew 25, it says, and afterwards the other virgins, the foolish virgins, come. And they say, Lord, Lord, open to us. They're knocking on the door. But listen what it says here. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So I want you to think about this. In Noah's day, for 120 years, he preached and warned through oral writings and written warnings. He had all this to confirm that judgment was coming. He warned generation after generation that there was coming things that had never been seen in those generations. So how did they respond? They mocked, they laughed, and they scoffed. Now let's fast forward to 2024. You have future tense. We have a coming Antichrist. We have a coming beast system that he will rule and reign from, with buying and selling that will require something implanted in our right hands and foreheads. We have an image of the beast that will be created. It will likely be AI. We have a coming third temple, which is literally on the precipice of being created once, if and when these heifers are sacrificed, because this is the missing element for this to get this thing going. This will be also the future headquarters of the Antichrist. There will probably be a mass deception event, such as in a quote-unquote alien invasion, which will cause a possible falling away of even the very elect, if it were possible. Jesus said there will come great and fearful sights from heaven. We've got this coming April 8th. There will be waves and seas roaring upon the earth and in the seas. This will be so intense and terrifying that the Bible says it will cause men's hearts to fail them. Luke 21, there's coming a gathering together. Come on, this is the good news. There's coming together, a gathering together of the bride of Christ, or what you like to hear. Come on, I know some of y'all, this makes people foam at the mouth, but you can call it whatever you want. The gathering together, the catching away, the harpazo, the snatching up, the great assembly, come on, of the first chosen of the believers, whatever you want to call it. But there is no generation that has ever witnessed this or experienced this since the day in which Enoch walked with God and was taken from the earth and never saw physical death. All right. So again, let me recap. I know that was a lot. Number one, Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen. Okay. And he warned and preached about this. Number two, come on, are you still with me? Are you taking notes here? Number two, the Bible says that Noah moved and operated out of the fear of God. Read it. It's in Hebrews 11, 7. It says he moved out of the fear of God. Listen to me. Noah possessed something that I believe has been lost in the house of faith in this hour, and that is the fear of God. Come on, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, but yet we don't have a lot of wisdom in this generation. Noah reverenced the Lord with his whole household. He honored and served the Lord with all of his possessions, his wealth, his strength, his resources. He was obedient to the call. Check out what the prophet Ezekiel said about Noah. Son of man, this is Ezekiel 14, 13 through 14. Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine upon it, and cut off man and beast from it. Verse 14, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, look what it says here. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. How many believes, come on, that Noah, come on, was faithful to the Lord? Noah was obedient to the Lord. Noah possessed something that this generation needs desperately in this hour, and it's the fear of God. Listen, friend, today, the house of God looks like a three-ring circus for the most part, and everything and anything seems to go anymore. And now listen, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to touch on this subject. We're going to hit on some talking points. You don't want to miss tomorrow night's broadcast. We're going to bring up some of this stuff tomorrow night. So again, don't miss it. But listen to me. Today's church, for the most part, looks nothing like it did, come on, in the original days of the apostles, in the original blueprint of the New Testament church. Anything and everything goes. Things are being done that would make saints of old roll over in their graves. That's an expression we've heard and said. Even angels would not dare to tread where many preachers are taking their flocks today. Think about it, church. No more separation between the holy and profane. And we're just like the church of Laodicea. We don't even recognize that we are poor, wretched, and naked. Psalms 89, verse 7, the psalmist said, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Come on, is there anybody else out there that agrees with Brother Ricky that we've got to get the fear of the Lord back in our house today? We got to get back in our families today. We got to get it back in our individual walks today. We got to get it back into the household of faith. We got to get the fear of God back in the pulpits on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or whenever your service is or whatever that looks like for you. We've got to, come on, where are the preachers that are still, come on, holding that standard today? All right, number three, I told you once we got through the first part, that was kind of the introduction, we got through number one. Number two, here's number three. The Bible says that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Listen, we read about Noah and what and how he prepared for the coming judgment from God. We read about Noah not being selfish and his response, but he put his family and his household as a priority. Listen to me, husbands, wives, mama, daddy, grandfathers, grandmothers. Listen to me, single fathers, single mothers. Noah was not selfish. He knew that judgment, calamity, and disaster was coming. But he didn't ignore everybody else around him. He put his family first. The Bible indicates that over a period of 120 years, he actively prepared an ark for the saving of his family to preserve his bloodline in the earth. Listen, how do we do this today? We're not talking about we're not out here building an actual ark. The ark today represents a place of refuge, a secret place, a house of worship, or a house church, if you would. Come on. As I've always said, this is why you've heard me talk about this all the time. I'm not looking for the next corporate revival. I am trying to stoke the fires of personal revival. Listen, if I cannot generate and steward a move of God in my own home, how am I going to ever participate in a move of God in the house of God? Listen, if we all caught on fire in our own homes, and when we met up and gathered together as the ecclesia or the church, this, I'm telling you, you would not be able to contain it, Read the book of Acts, friend. This is what they did. They would go out to the streets and they would preach and they would evangelize and they would be missionaries. They would see signs, wonders, and miracles. They would have salvations and healings and deliverances and all these things take place. And then the Bible says they would come together and they would assemble together and they would have prayer meetings. They would intercede together. And the Bible says the whole building in which they were contained in would begin to shake. They would be filled over and over with the Holy Ghost. Come on, God would give them great grace and great power. Why? So that they can be selfish, so that they can retain it, so that they can hold on to it. No, so that they could take the great grace and take the great power and that they could go out the four walls of the door, come on, of their safety and come on, put their necks on the line and go out there into the lost and dying world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. The psalmist said in Psalms 91 verse 12, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Come on, guys, I'm telling you, I'm going to preach this to you. I'm going to preach this to myself. This is a warning for all of us. We have got to become acquainted with the secret place. The world wants to keep us busy. The world wants to keep us distracted. The world wants to keep us entertained and all of these things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with entertainment. There's nothing wrong with fun things. There's nothing wrong with family activities. There's nothing wrong with these things inherently, and they're not evil. But listen, if these things become a distraction, they become a deterrent and they keep us from the secret place. Guys, this is not a good thing because it's in the secret place where the Lord meets us. Come on, come on. Body. It's the secret place where in which we can seek his face and God can be given, give us divine revelation. He can speak to us in his word. He can show us things to come. He can divinely warn us of things not yet seen. And the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where in which there was the cities of the plains, we read about how it was revealed to Abraham, who, by the way, had this kind of an intimate relationship with God. The Bible called Abraham a friend of God. You go read it. Read it in Genesis 8, 17, 18, Genesis 19. Abraham had such a relationship with God that God would always reveal to Abraham before he ever did anything major, come on, in his time, he would first reveal it to Abraham. Do you know your Bible says that God does nothing lest he first reveal it to his servants, his prophets? Again, I'm telling you, I'm not all about tags and titles and positions, but there is real prophets in the earth today. I'm talking about people that hear from God, people that are in that secret place, people that get dreams, people that get visions, people that get divine revelation from God. Abraham was in that place, in that position of relationship, and God revealed to him that his nephew Lot was in big trouble in the cities of the plains. And your Bible says that Abraham did not leave him there to be destroyed, but he went, come on, he pursued Lot. In fact, he rescued him once, but he still gets wrapped up into this place. And then God had enough of the immorality and wickedness. And as a final witness against the cities of the plains, he sends two angels of the Lord in the flesh to go there firsthand and give an account of what was being reported to him. It was then judgment was pronounced against Sodom and Gomorrah, and it was revealed to Abraham, who again was called a friend of God, who, watch this, Abraham began to intercede and stand in the gap and make up the hedge for his bloodline, his nephew. You remember, y'all remember the dialogue? If I can find 50 righteous, will you spare the city? If you can find 40 righteous, will you spare? And he gets all the way down to Lot, his daughters, and his sons-in-laws. So I want to ask you today, I'm going to challenge you today. How are we responding as men and women of God to this immoral and wicked world, knowing that judgment has already been pronounced against the West. It's been pronounced against America. Judgment, come on, the wrath of God is about to descend upon the whole earth. Are we selfish of this? Are we going to hide our bushel, our light under a bushel? Or are we pursuing the lost? Are we interceding for families? Are we interceding for friends? Are we interceding for our neighbors? Are we interceding for our coworkers? Because again, we may be the only individual standing in the gap and praying for them. Oh, I want to talk to every husband, wife, mama, daddy. We aren't building a physical ark today. Again, I want to emphasize that we are not preparing for another global flood. God already said, I'll put a rainbow in the sky and remind you and remind myself that never again will I destroy the earth of a flood. But we should be actively preparing our loved ones for the most imminent return of the Lord and the coming great tribulation. We can assume we will not see many hardships and dark days, but we must prepare as though we must endure until the end. I don't have time to elaborate on that. I've talked about many, many times, and I've said to you firsthand many times that I believe we as believers are going to see and experience a whole lot more than what we've previously told that we wouldn't see. So I'm preparing accordingly. You're going to have to do what you're going to do, but I'm just letting you know. Here's the bottom line, guys. Let's not grow weary as we await the soon return of the Lord. Remember, Noah remained steadfast in his pursuit of preparing his family to endure what was coming for 120 years. Most of us wouldn't even last 3 months without an answer to prayer, a breakthrough, or some type of revelation from God on why, how, and when, and whatever circumstance. You know how many people has, oh, come on. I'm going to do a whole segment on this too, guys, so I don't want to get too much into this, but one thing comes to my mind is Kanye West. Here's a guy that, and I don't want to, whether he really got saved and gave his heart to the Lord, I don't know, but he made a statement that I thought was profound, and I'm going to do a whole podcast on this, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a cliff notes or an excerpt on this. But he made a statement where in which he said he prayed to Jesus about many things, and Jesus never answered him of those prayers. So he took matters into his own hands, and because of this, it hardened his heart towards God. I'm going to preach a whole message on that. But guys, listen, don't miss my point here. I want you to think back. There's a reason why Noah was enlisted in the heroes of faith. The fact that this man endured 120 years, not just building the ark, not just being persistent, but think about 120 years of preaching to a stiff-necked civilization about the coming judgment of the Lord. And he continued until the day that God shut him up in the ark. We must remain steadfast and faithful in the word, attending the house of God, fellowship with other believers, faithful in our giving, faithful in our service to the Lord, and faithful in prayer. He, the Bible says in Matthew 24, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. All right, so let me do a quick recap, guys. Let me go over my notes here. Number one, God warned Noah of things not yet seen. Number two, it says that Noah moved and operated out of the fear of God. Number three, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And number four, watch this. This is a good one. If you're taking notes, the Bible says that he condemned the world. Let me pull it up here. In Hebrews 11:7, it says, look at this. He moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which, look at this, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, in which is according to faith. Now, I looked up the word condemned in Greek here, and this is what's interesting. The word condemned means to give judgment against, to judge worthy of punishment, or by one's example to render another's wickedness the more evident. Let me say that one more time. The word condemn means to give judgment against, to judge worthy of punishment, or by one's good example to render another's wickedness the more evident. In other words, oh, this is so good, guys. In other words, Noah's lifestyle and how he lived for God was condemnable to the world. Let me say that again. Noah's lifestyle and how he lived condemned the world. Today, we should say it was grossly offensive to the wicked. His faithfulness, his obedience to God was a witness against his generation that God himself described as the following. Look, let me read this. Genesis 6, 5 and 6. And then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So look at the indictment against the men of the earth in that day of Noah's day. They were wicked continually, and their hearts were evil and intents were evil continually. The Bible says in verse 11 of Genesis 6, the earth was corrupt before God and the entire earth was filled with violence. Jesus said, oh, listen to this. You say, well, how's that relevant to me? Here it is, Matthew 5, 13, 16. Look what it says here. Let me pull it up. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. But if we lose our salt, if the salt loses its flavor, it'll be not, how will it be seasoned? It'll be good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled under feet by men. We are the light of the world. We're a city that is called to be set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor can we light a lamp and put it under a basket and put it on a lampstand, and it gives us light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen to me, friend. You need to clean out your ears and listen to what Brother Ricky's going to say here. When we are truly salt and light in the earth, it will be impactful everywhere we go. Our workplace, family gatherings, the marketplace, all of this, depending on the hearts of the individuals, the response will bring a reflection to this. Here's what I'm trying to say. John 3:18 says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Noah condemned the world in his day, listen to this, by simply remaining faithful to God and had the backbone to stand for his convictions and moral standards. He preached repentance to his generation, regardless of the consequences to himself or his family. Oh, I got to say that again. See, this is, oh, come on. This is how you condemn the world today. Not that you're trying to condemn the world intentionally, but if you're living righteous before God, if you're living holy before God, if you believe in sanctification, you believe in being set apart, if you believe in what the Bible says about marriage, if you believe what the Bible says about what is sin, what is an abomination, what is the shedding of innocent blood, if you stand on these standards, then it is condemnable to the world. You will be considered to be filth of the world. You'll be an outcast to the world. You will be considered to be, come on, a bigot, a hate monger, a divider, a troublemaker. Noah condemned the world in his day by simply living faithful to the Lord. And he had something that we need back in this generation, and it's a spine, it's a backbone to stand on our convictions and stand on our moral standards. And he, along with Methuselah, according to the book of Jasher, preached repentance to his generation, regardless of the consequences that would come to himself and his family. Come on, where are the preachers today with a backbone and the message of repentance in this hour that are warning a generation that, come on, the time is up, the Lord is coming back, and judgment is coming again, just as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Okay, again, that's going to be our main website. Again, if you've not, I'm going to pray with you guys, so hang in here for a second. If you've not downloaded our free app, do it today. Get it on Apple, get it on Android. It's free. Push yes to push notifications. You're going to be notified of every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. Guys, again, please hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. If you've been blessed by this message and all of our messages, again, we want to give you an opportunity, guys. You can partner with End Time Headlines. Listen, whatever that looks like to you, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, for some of you, this is your home church. If you'll just simply be faithful to the Lord and you're giving your tithes, your offerings, It helps us to remain strong and active and continue to do what we do. Listen, if you would like to become a partner, more information, or you'd like to do that, you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there on your screen, all the way down to the bottom where it says donate. You just click there and it's going to be easy. It's going to walk you through how to do that. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, I want to listen for everyone that's listening on the sound of my voice today. If you're away from God, don't know God, backslid, I'm telling you, whatever the case would be, we're going to pray for you today, and we want to pray that you get right with God, because again, time is running out. The Bible says they knew not until the day that the flood came. So don't put off tomorrow what you need to put on today. And Paul said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice today. I thank you for those watching, those that are listening today by Apple, by Spotify, by YouTube, by Rumble, however they may be watching, listening, those that were invited to the broadcast, all of our new subscribers. If there be any individual under the sound of my voice that's away from you, that are backslid, they're not right with God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would convict them and bring them back to the fold even now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way with them. I pray, Father, that they would confess their sins. You said in the book of John that if any man sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, I'm trusting you today and believing today that people are going to be restored, that people are going to be saved, and people are going to become born again today in Jesus' name. And we will rejoice with all of heaven, even in the presence of angels, over one sinner that comes to the Lord in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to, Lord, that we would begin to put into action these four attributes. That, Lord, we would be like Noah. We would remain faithful. We would remain persistent. We would remain steadfast. And that we would not flinch. We would have a backbone. We would continue to preach what the Bible preaches. We would preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And, Lord, we know that if we remain faithful until the end, we will one day hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into thy riches. So Lord, we thank you today. We pray that you'd strengthen us today to help us to walk this out and to not only to hear this word today, but to receive it, to respond to it, and put it into action, as James says in his writings, that faith without works is dead. And we can only be hearers of the word only, but we must be doers of it. So Father, we thank you for this today. We give you praise and glory, and all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, guys, again, we thank you so much for coming on to the broadcast today. We're going to sign off for today. We plan on being back tomorrow evening, Tuesday, March 26th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We have got a wonderful podcast episode coming for you then. And then we'll be off Wednesday, be back Thursday and Friday. So we got a whole week lined up for you guys, and it's going to be great programming. So until tomorrow night, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.